a motorcycle conjures up at least two very conflicting images: freedom of the open road and the oppression of motorcycle gangs. The man in the following story experienced both in his quest to find out what life was really about, a quest that ended when his mind and heart and life were unshackled. Now broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2388 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Clarence, don't make any noise. Mom and Dad hear us, we are goners. Okay, now leave the window open so we can climb back in.
You go first.
Okay, come on, it's easy. Come on, just grab the post and slide down. We better run, it's almost midnight.
Doc, but I ain't scared, are you, Lil?
Nobody's out here but Floydy. Somewhere.
Hey, you guys, over here.
Where are we going?
Down to the gospel camp. Nobody's there now. We can have a lot of fun.
Sure is dark.
Nobody will see us that way. Besides, the Girls Hater Club ain't scared of nothing. Hey, you guys, this is fun. Come on, just do it. What's the matter with you, Clarence? You chicken?
No. It's wrong, and I'm not going to.
The man in our story was just 5 years old when he had the courage to stand against a boy nearly twice his age and run from evil. He was the youngest of five children, born in 1957 to a dairy farmer in central New York. We'll let him tell you the consequence of that decision and how he went into bondage despite his courage. This is Clarence Hafflin's true story right now on Unshackled.
I ran back to the house that night, climbed up the post onto the roof, and through the window, into bed. I thought everything was okay until the next day in school when a big policeman came into my kindergarten class and led me to the principal's office.
Clarence, you three boys went to the gospel camp last night, didn't you? And some windows were broken, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, Floydy says he didn't break any windows, but your brother Leo broke 14 and you broke 7. And Leo says he broke 7 windows, Floydy broke 14 and you didn't break any. What's the truth? You boys talk it over and tell us what happened.
You better tell him the truth, Floydy, or we will beat the tar out of you.
Yeah, Floyd, tell the truth.
Okay, I will. Leo told the truth. I broke 14 windows and he broke 7. Clarence didn't break any.
Come into my office, Clarence. Son, you're not in trouble. Go back to your class. But your brother and Floyd will go to court and social workers will come to your home. I'll call your parents right now. Son, don't ever forget how to say no.
I wish I had taken heed to those words. Mom and Dad always took us kids to church on Sunday. My brother Leo and I even took part in the service. But I didn't learn what I should have. Instead, I became more and more rebellious. I kicked my first grade teacher in the shins. I socked my second grade teacher in the stomach. And I pushed my third grade teacher down the stairs. My behavior got worse every year. When I was 12, my parents were called to the hospital emergency room.
Clarence, what on earth happened? The doctor said we almost lost you.
Me and my friend drank something bad, that's all.
The doctor said they had to pump your stomach.
What did you drink?
Some booze my friend found behind a frat house at the university. It tasted real strange.
Oh, God only knows what was in it. Some kind of drug, maybe.
I remember trying to kiss my math teacher.
Clarence?
And I remember sitting in the hallway after class. My head was spinning, so I kept hitting it against the wall. Yeah, that's all I remember.
Where's the bottle so we can have it tested?
Well, we smashed it against the wall after we drank it.
You could have died, son. I hope you learned your lesson. Now, stay away from stuff like that.
I didn't listen to my parents either. I was smoking pot by then, and school became more and more of an obstacle in the path I wanted to take. Finally, the principal called my parents and me in for a conference.
I don't have to say that Clarence is not doing well in school. He's truant almost as much as he's here.
Yeah, I know. We can tell by the report cards.
He's taking remedial reading and struggling with that. This boy will never make it through school.
Well, what can we do? We've tried talking to him and everything else that we can think of.
We'll try to get him into vocational training as soon as possible. How does that sound, Clarence?
Well, all I ever wanted to be was a farmer anyway. I mean, who needs school for that? I'm going to quit as soon as I can.
At 14, I stopped going to school to work on the farm. But I knew there had to be more to life than work. My grandparents had come to live with us by then, and they seemed to know there was more to life than work, too. They did something that really bothered me.
Did you tell your grandma and grandpa that supper's ready?
No. I didn't go in their room because I could hear them in there praying. Why did he do that? I mean, it's so weird.
What's wrong with prayer?
It's like God's in there with them. And they're talking about each one of us by name. I'm getting out of here.
You stay right here and help me get supper on the table.
She's not my real grandma anyway, is she?
She might as well be. She's your grandmother's sister. The doctor told my mother when she was pregnant with me that either she could live or I could live, not both. Mother chose to let me live. When I was born, she held me just long enough to name me before she died. Her sister raised me.
Wow, that's really something, isn't it? I mean, to sacrifice your life like that?
Your grandmother upstairs sacrificed a lot to raise me, too. So I don't want you being rude to them. Now you go upstairs and knock gently and tell them supper's ready.
By the time I was 16 and my brother Leo was 19, we had tried every drug we could. Hash, mushrooms, speed, coke, LSD, you name it. We were constantly looking for a greater thrill that drugs could never seem to give.
Yeah, this weed's great.
Oh, man, you sure are right about that.
I'm so high. How can we ever go back to the normal life?
Well, maybe we should just quit farming with Dad and stay high all the time.
Man, can you imagine that? I mean, we could really be party animals.
Hey, Dad's ready to sell the farm and move to Florida anyway.
He should retire. I mean, he's like getting crabby in his old age.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy tonight when we didn't get home in time to milk and do chores.
You know, he just needs to get high.
Can you see the old man stone? What a blast.
Hey, let's sign another joint. I want to get really wasted.
Cool. Fed up with us, my parents sold the farm and moved to Florida not long after that. My brother and I became party animals. We rented a house with three or four other bikers, and I began to deal drugs just to be cool. Anything went. We all had motorcycles and parked them in the kitchen and the living room. That's when I received my biker name, Straw Dog, because of my long blonde hair.
Hey, Straw, what happened to your girlfriend?
I broke up with her.
What is it about you and rock concerts? Every time you go to one, you always come back home and toss out your girlfriend.
Hey, I can't help that. I just want to be free, that's all. Can't stand somebody hanging on to me all the time.
Hey, where's your brother? He was here a little while ago.
Oh, Mountain Man went out to get a part for my cycle. Hey, here he comes now.
Here you are, Straw. Wasn't easy to find, man.
Hey, thanks, bro. Just for that, I'll give you some of this dope I got.
Oh.
Here, have a hit.
Hey, are you ever gonna get that Harley rebuilt? It seems like you've been working on it forever, man.
Yeah, well, as soon as I get this knucklehead finished, me and Mountain Man here are gonna hit the open road. Right, bro?
Right.
Yeah, we're gonna find out what life is all about. There's gotta be more to it than this.
You are crazy, Straw. How could it be any better than parties, bikes, and women?
I don't know, but I'm gonna find out. Hard rock and drugs controlled my life. I went to every big name rock concert you can name. Each time for weeks afterward, my attitude was bad. Like I didn't have any feelings left. I would ruthlessly hurt people around me. By then, there were 10 of us living in that house, all bikers. When I was 18, my brother and two friends and I decided to head west on our motorcycles and find the freedom we read about in the biker magazines.
Hey, Straw, what's keeping you? I thought you were ready to go.
Hey, hold your horses, Buzzard. We found 2 hits of LSD.
But there's 4 of us.
So, I guess we'll just have to flip to see who gets it, huh?
Yep.
Ready? Whoa, it ain't me. Your turn, Buzzard.
It ain't me either.
Looks like Felix and I are the lucky ones.
What's up the road?
Freedom, here I come! Oh,
never coming back. You know my motto. Ride hard, die fast.
In a moment, Clarence will tell us where that road led him. You can shed light in the darkness of this world by sharing your testimony through Unshackled. Here's Dave Saulnier, superintendent of Pacific Garden Mission, to explain.
If you or someone you know has had a life-changing encounter with the Lord, we'd like to hear about it. For that matter, people around the world would like to hear about it, and do, through these broadcasts. Unshackled is heard on more than 1,100 radio outlets on 6 continents, in English, Arabic, and Spanish. We receive letters from listeners in faraway places who hear these true stories and, for the first time, realize that God loves them too and will intervene in their lives if they ask.
Unshackled hits home with people everywhere because we all face the same issue of separation from God that leads to heartache and failure. And these true testimonies show the truth of God's promises in the Bible, that He will act anywhere, anytime, for anyone who puts their faith in Him.
So if God has brought you or someone you know out of darkness into His light and life, take the stand for Christ and testify what He has done, that others may hear and believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6 urges us to share, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. In your own words, tell us how God set you free, and we'll take it from there. Who knows how many souls will find new life because you were willing to share.
Write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605.
We rode from state to state, sleeping in cornfields or rest stops, anywhere we could pitch a tent or unroll a sleeping bag. We ended up in Colorado for a month, where we camped in the mountains or stayed with friends. That's when we discovered that not all bikers were like us.
Yo, Straw! You get some more of that LSD? That's good stuff.
Hey, man, I'll try. How come you sold some of it to Burrhead? You should have kept it for our gang.
Hey, you gotta show solidarity among the brotherhood, man. You know, one biker to another.
Yeah, right.
Burrhead, what's up?
You shorted me.
No, I didn't. I gave you exactly what you paid for, man.
I rode with the outlaws, the pagans, and the angels, all of them. And I will kill you, as I have others, if you don't give me more right now.
Don't argue with him, Mountain Man. Give him what he wants.
Here, man.
I'll remember this.
Can you believe that guy? I mean, I thought bikers were part of a brotherhood.
Yes, some brotherhood. It's more like Cain and Abel. Disillusionment with the whole biker scene spread like a virus through our group. Other gangs had weapons they used without thinking, and they'd steal another guy's bike if he wasn't careful. One night, we bought some drugs from a guy who wanted to take us for a ride in the mountains in his new car. About 15 miles up the road, my brother suddenly got suspicious and insisted the man take us back to where we left our bikes.
They're still here. Bikes are safe. Man, it was a setup if I ever saw one.
Yeah, I think you're right. He gets us to put our bikes in his backyard and says we don't need to lock them, then lures us away for a ride in the mountains.
As soon as he stopped to make that phone call, I got suspicious. He was going to rip us off.
Oh, man, you can't trust anybody. Not if they ply you with hash.
We could have lost our bikes just like our friends did.
All right, look. I've had it. I'm going to head back home.
Come on, Straw. It ain't that bad.
Look, I'm tired of the hassle, Mountain Man. This life ain't all it's cracked up to be. I thought we'd be free, but we're not. We just traded one kind of hassle for another.
Look, don't give up, man. There's a lot we haven't seen.
Well, I've seen enough. Felix and I are going home. Besides, we're running low on money.
Hey, I never thought you'd be the one to quit, man.
I never thought life would be like this either. I hate it. I wasn't happy even back in New York. My brother and Buzzard came home right after we did. So Leo and I headed our bikes to Florida for the winter. Heavy rains and flood water in Atlanta forced us to pull over into a laundromat where we dried our clothes and then fell asleep on the dryers. I woke up with a policeman's gun to my head.
Boy, what gang you with?
None. My brother and I just passing through on our way to Florida. We got soaked and came in here to dry out.
That's right. Well, one of you bikers killed my partner last night, and I'll take you in. But since you're just passing through, get on your bikes. I'll follow you to the state line.
That patrolman kept his word and followed us all the way to the Florida state line. We arrived at our parents' home, tripping on drugs, which they could tell by looking in our eyes. We saw their worry and tried to dry out. Leo and I both got jobs at different dairy farms about an hour apart, so we didn't see each other very often. One day, I went to visit him.
Good to see you, Straw.
Hey, you got a haircut, Mountain Man. What's up? Have you turned redneck?
No, man. I'm a Christian. I've been reading the Bible, and God's changed my life.
Oh, man. I don't believe it.
It's true. Some guy knocked at the door and asked me if I wanted to go to church every week. Well, I finally went. Then I started reading the Bible, and one night while I was milking the cows, I said to myself, Jesus, I am so tired of this kind of life. I prayed for his forgiveness and asked him to be my savior. And honestly, Straw, I felt a change of heart right then. I knew I was born again.
You don't even talk like my brother.
You know, you need to become a real Christian too, Straw. You're a sinner. God says we're all sinners. And if you were to die suddenly without Christ, you'd end up in hell.
I've always believed in God, okay? I'm not a sinner. I've never killed anyone, so God wouldn't send me to hell.
Hey, Straw, there's more to it than that. If you really believed in God, you'd be different. Your life would reflect the image of Jesus Christ, because he bought you with his blood when he died on a cross for your sin.
Shut up. All right, don't you ever, ever preach to me again. I don't want to hear that stuff, all right? I'm not a sinner.
Yes, you are, Straw. But the power of God is stronger than the power of Satan.
For the next 6 months, a light seemed to go out in my life, as if God heard me and began to show me the fruit of my sin everywhere I turned. I became very depressed. I needed a change in my life. So my brother and I decided to save up money to start our own farm as partners. In the spring of 1976, we bought a 220-acre farm back in central New York. By then, I had cut down on my drinking, but drugs were still a big problem.
Ready to get to work, Straw?
Oh, man, I had a bad trip last night. I did some Devil's Triangle acid. I only tried half a hit, but man, Leo, never again. It was spooky.
What happened?
Well, I started freaking out, so I came home. And then I felt a presence of darkness, like nothing I'd ever known before. I had hallucinations of devils. I mean, they tormented me like trying to take my soul. I knew I wouldn't get through it alive, and just when my mind was about to snap, I remembered what you said about the power of God being stronger than the power of Satan. And I said, Jesus, if you're real, please help me now.
And he did.
Yeah. Yeah, just like that. The dark presence was gone, and I felt a new presence. One that was different. It seemed holy. Leo, man, I was straight. I should have been tripping for another 12 hours, but I was straight, man. That acid was laced with speed, and I should have been up all night. But I laid down on the couch and slept like a baby.
Read this booklet, bro. It explains about being saved. How to accept Christ as your personal savior.
Leo, look, man, I'll do that as soon as I sell all my wheat.
Don't wait, Clarence.
Satan might kill you before you do.
Thinking about what my brother said, I threw all my marijuana over the fence and swore I was through with pot. October 30th, 1977, the day after my 20th birthday, I went to church with my brother. We rode up on our Harleys, black leather and all, me with my long hair and beard.
A long time since we went to church together, huh?
Yeah, you can say that again.
Proud of you, Straw, throwing away your pot like that.
All my friends asked where I threw it, but I wouldn't tell them.
Come on, let's go meet some of my friends.
Hey, are you sure they're ready for this?
Straw, we're all sinners, saved by God's grace. Everyone here was once a sinner, too.
As wild as I looked, many people shook hands and said, "We're glad you came to church today." I knew they had something real that I didn't have, a joy, as they sang the hymns and stood up to give testimonies. Then the preacher taught from the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? He leadeth me into green pastures." I knew God wasn't my shepherd. I had led my own path into sorrow and emptiness. I was a lost sinner, needing a savior. When the invitation was given, I was the first to go to the front. I cried out to God for his forgiveness. I was in anguish because of the years of rebellion and sin. Then I asked him to save me and give me his new life.
Well, now we're brothers in Christ, Draw.
Hey, for the first time in my life, I feel clean. I know I'm forgiven, and I don't want to sin anymore.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You're a new person, Straw.
I'm going to get myself a big Bible and carry it with me on my Harley.
That sounds like something you do. Hey, Straw, where's your drink?
I quit drinking. Yeah, quit doing drugs, too.
Oh, come on, who are you kidding?
Hey, it's true. I've decided to follow Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, hey, he's the best thing that'll ever happen to you. When he comes into your life, everything changes.
Well, you gonna sit here and tell me you'd rather listen to some wimpy hymn than Black Sabbath?
Well, I have to admit, I still like hard rock music, but I know it isn't good for me. I need to give it up.
That's the trouble with religion. You always have to give things up.
Jesus gave his life for the sin of the world, which includes you. But you don't have to give up anything to come to God. He accepts you just as you are. Afterward, your desires are different, you know? You just want to change.
Not me, brother. Live and let live is my motto.
You might as well say die and let die, because without Christ, you're dead in your sins, man. And you're headed straight for hell. Jesus came to give you life, man.
You sound like a preacher.
I am compelled to tell you the truth of the Bible. But this is more urgent than anything in life. Jesus loves you. He died for your sins, and he'll change your heart completely. Hey, God said in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For about a year or so, I went to bars, not to drink, but to tell my friends about Christ. Then the Lord helped me see that I had told all who would listen, and it was time to leave the bars for good. I finally burned all my rock and roll tapes, worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars. About 4 years after I was saved, I knew God had called me to preach. My pastor encouraged me to go to Bible college, so I went to talk with a counselor.
How far did you go in high school, Clarence?
Oh, I never made it that far. I quit when I was 14.
Well, the GED test depends on reading comprehension. How were you in reading in grade school?
Well, I was in a special class for reading.
Well, have you done much reading since you were in school?
No, I've read only one book in my life.
And what was that?
The Bible. I was saved 4 years ago, and I've been reading the Bible ever since.
Well, let's see what that did for you. Here, take this test, and if you pass it, you can take the big one.
God's word says in Psalm 119, verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." I got 99% on the test and passed the GED at the head of my class. Then I finished Bible college with a double major in 3 years. After pastoring for 6 years, God gave me Linda, a wonderful wife. He has blessed us with 2 sons, one now in heaven, and a set of twins. We now serve the Lord as a family as we travel in my ministry as missionary evangelists in the U.S. and foreign countries. And now, friends, I'd like to tell you about God's love. A love so deep we cannot comprehend. I don't know how he could ask his only son to die on the cross for our sins. There was no other choice because God says the penalty for sin is death, and he won't go back on his word. Now, the judgment of God and the love of God came together at the cross. He condemned sin and yet provided forgiveness for the sinner. John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
Friend, if you would like to receive God's gift of salvation, you're invited to pray with us right now. Lord, I believe you sent Jesus to die in my place, that his death covered all my sins, that his resurrection is my resurrection from the death of sin. Thank you for sending Jesus and forgive me for his sake. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and help me to live for you. Friend, if you prayed with us in faith, you have received God's grace and are now his child.
Sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It's refreshing to feel so pure and clean. I have fellowship with God. Acts 3:19, for I gave my Jesus and my sins were blotted out. Isn't this what life is all about? Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing.